Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of the Almighty in my feet, all the way up to my head, in Jesus' name and everywhere in between. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. You might as well just get free this morning. Now, I want to talk to you. We've been talking about the helper of faith, but I want to shift focus today just for maybe this week. But the Lord has talked to me about the seed time, the power of seed. What did seed come from for? Is the seed for you? Is the seed for me? Or is the seed belong to God? Is the fruit ours or is the fruit God's? And we got to begin to understand, because the entire kingdom of God works with seed. Everything you do in the kingdom, whether it be salvation, whether it be healing, whether it be peace, whether it be freedom, whether it be deliverance, the entire kingdom of God works like this. According to Mark chapter 4, it is as a man should cast seed into the ground, and in belief, he believes, then he goes to bed, he rises day and night, and the seed does something in and of itself. The seed produces after its own kind, and it grows up, springs forth, grows up, and the Bible says that the man doesn't know how, but he's got to stay in faith, and that seed then produces whatever it was that the man put the assignment in it. The man puts the assignment in the seed, what he's believing for, scripture, and then casts that seed, and that seed always, because it's the law of God, brings forth a harvest. Glory to God. Amen. Let's get into this. Get your Bibles out. Let's get into this. And I don't want to yell at you, but I'd say to you, be very careful about the spirit of familiarity concerning proven, anointed preachers and teachers, and especially concerning the operation of faith in the Word of God. Do not let Satan make the Word of God, the things of God, become familiar to you, to where you just shrug it off and say, no, man, this is of the highest royalty. You should have the highest honor and respect for the things of God. You should have a bowing spirit when you come before the things of God, literally. You should have a raise your hands and surrender. When you come to the very Word of God and approach the Word of God, you should approach it as the greatest thing, the greatest person, the greatest power that you could ever come in contact with. It's funny, I see people when they come in contact with wealthy men or women or powerful men or women in the natural, they bow, man, they put their hands by their side, they dress up, they smile, they put on the most respect and most honor. But I'm not talking about carnal, mortal man. I'm talking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm talking about the Creator of all living matter. Don't let Satan make this familiar or habitual to you. These documents, the Bible is the heavenly documents. Very important. Very important. Amen. Let's look at this. Go with me to Genesis. And the Bible says that God made man, Genesis 1:26. I'll make reference, and then we're going to get to 28, 29, 30, 31. God said, let us make a man, let's make him in our own image, our own likeness. So God created man in his image, his likeness. There, the image, our likeness, Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, the God the Holy Ghost. And then he said, let's give him dominion. Man was supposed to dominate all that God placed under or in his trust. God placed things in our trust, and we were supposed to dominate. Now, not dominate to where we beat it down or rule it or demean it, but dominate to where it was under our trust. It was in our trust. It was our responsibility. That's where God put all these things. But then let's pick up in verse 28. God said, let them be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed. Now, the seed is not your food. You got to understand this. When we talk about seed in throughout the Bible, we talk about seed. The Word of God is a seed. It comes to you. Is the Word of God yours? No, it's God's Word. So now God's given us the authority to use His Word, but it's what God's Word produced that's for you. That's meat for you. So let's look at money. I want to look at money, and I don't know how we got so far off concerning money and Christianity. I do. His name's the devil, and he operates in religion, you know. So I understand that. I understand there's churches, good people in churches that are under a spell of some kind of spirit that lie to you and tell you money in church is bad, and to be wealthy is bad, and a pastor's got to be poor, and the preacher's got to be poor, and the missionary's got to be poor, and prosperity is bad. You know, that came from a demon. That didn't come from your word. You can't find that in your word. That either comes from a man's heart that is in poverty and doesn't know how to get out of it, and he's mad at everybody who's got money. And in poverty or under that spirit, that person will find a way to judge every wealthy man or every wealthy woman. And what they're judging or what they're saying is, I don't have it. I want it. I don't know how to get it. So until I do, I'm going to make everybody who has it looks bad to reduce them to my state. That's what it is. Is it help from a demon spirit, an influence, an entity? We can also look at money is not bad. I hear a lot of people say, money's bad. No. But the Bible says, doesn't say money's the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. And the reason you can't love money is because God said you're to love me and have no other gods before me. So whether it be money, whether it be fishing, whether it be your children's sports, whether it be alcohol, partying, whether it be, we could put a million things there. But God still says you will not put any other God before me. So I don't love money. I love God. I'm appreciative of what money can do. It does relieve pressure. It does relieve stress. Now, I'm talking to you as a person that was poor to the point where I was stressed every day just to feed my kids a hot dog. I was in a certain season of Pastor Kim in my life, we were stressed trying to get gas in the car to get back and forth to work or church. We were stressed because lack of money or lack of understanding, which produces lack of money. We were trying to feed the kids. I told the church Sunday, I remember at one point in time, you know, you get three boys that are all in diapers. They're that close. And they all come out of diapers and getting into that eating stage. You got to produce because they eat. And I remember one day we were making, I think it was macaroni, cheese, and hot dogs. But we only had one box of macaroni and cheese, and I think we only had eight hot dogs. You know, I think they come in two packs of four together. And, man, them kids were eating them hot dogs, and Kim and I were sitting there looking. I'm thinking, my God, make them not be hungry. I sure want a hot dog. But we'd tell them we weren't hungry. You know, we wanted them to eat first. But that's not good. That's not the blessing of the Lord. Now, Satan has a lot of you deceived thinking that's the blessing of the Lord or that's the goodness of God. That's a curse. That's a curse of lack. A lack of understanding, lack of biblical knowledge, lack of faith. Come on now, I'm preaching better than what you're saying. And you don't even have scripture to back your case up, and I have hundreds of them to back up the word of God. Amen. So once again, God said, you take this, subdue the earth or grow the earth, replenish, be fruitful. Now he's going to tell us why. 29, God said, behold, I'd given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the that which is the fruit of the tree, yielding seed. So there's fruit of the tree that yields seed to you that shall be for meat. The seed's not for meat. The fruit is for meat. The fruit's for you to eat. The word meat means for you to eat, means produce for you to trade, produce for you to sell, produce for you to increase. Now, he said, listen to this now. He said, within your meat, your fruit, I've put a never-ending resource. Now, I'm talking about money. I'm not talking about fruit, and I'm not talking about meat, and I'm not talking about eating natural things. I'm talking about seed time and harvest, the law of God. I'm talking about the kingdom works upon this principle, the entire kingdom. But God said, not only, I hope you get the revelation of this, not only do I give you fruit to eat, but I'll put seed in the fruit so that you have unlimited resource. But what do you got to do with seed? Come on. All right, now we're spoiled. We got Publix, we got Walmart, Target, Winn-Dixie, we got all these different shopping stores. So for us, we don't have to be concerned about the seed and the fruit. Not only that, but we've become so spoiled, we don't even want seeds in our fruit. We buy seedless fruit. But if you had to rely on a fruit to produce your future, you'd take more care of the seed. So if I go get a lemon and I get to the end of that lemon and I got, I don't know, 8-10 seeds out of it, and I can go plant them seeds for an endless source of meat, more lemons, I'd take care of that seed. I'd see that seed. Maybe Satan's had something to do with our generation to speed everything up and to create things. I don't know if you know this. I don't know if you know this, Dylan, but a lot of times our fruits are gassed or in gas chambers to speed up the process or to ripen it, but it's not ripening it. It's doing it synthetically, which is not producing what God created it to produce in the first place. And then they take it into a laboratory and they somehow remove the seed and they recreate the process without the seed. It's fake. You go, I can still as a kid remember when I went into the store and put a tomato to your nose, you could smell a tomato. You didn't smell it no more. Go to Publix today, grab the ripest tomato you can get, even the organic tomato. Put it as close as you can to your nostrils and take a big smell, sniff. You're not going to smell any tomato. Take a mango, take. The only thing that I can smell that smells good is strawberries that come from Plant City, Florida. The other ones, the ones that come all over the world, I think they're gas and everything else. This is science. I'm not making stuff up. This isn't conspiracy. But I think Satan kind of made this a rapid return world to where we don't have to worry about seed so that the whole idea of the kingdom would get out of the human race. All right, I'll just keep going. 30, and to every beast of the earth and every fowl of the air and everything that creepeth on the earth, whether there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And so God, now once again, the herb comes from seed, the meat eats the herb and produces meat for us. Once again, produce, product. And God said, everything that he has made, and behold, it was good. And there was evening and morning were the sixth day. Now turn to Genesis 8. Well, I wish I had a little more time today. I get into a deep study. It's hard to do a podcast. I don't even know if my teaching qualifies as podcasts. But I'm just trying to get the word out. Eighth verse of Genesis. And Noah built an altar. Now we know that Noah, to this point, he finds dry land. The flood stops and begins to dissipate the water. And the Bible says the first thing Noah does is Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imaginations of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more in everything living as I have done. And then this is God's, what God establishes. While the earth remaineth, so God says, I'll not do that ever again, but because of this offering, understand, because of an offering. Dylan, are you getting this? Because of Noah's offering, God said, you ought to thank God for Noah, and when you get to heaven, thank Noah. We don't know how many floods we would have had. We don't know how many recreations we would have had. But because Noah's offering unto the Lord, Noah sowed something that had value to him. He didn't have cash. He had cattle. He had seed. He had flesh. He had seed. Remember, according to Genesis we just read, the herb seed produces an herb that the cows or cattle or flesh eats, and the meat was to sustain or for sustenance. So the meat was product. It had money ability attached to it because you could trade, you could sell it, or you could sustain your flesh with it. So he offers this to God. Oh, man, glory to God. I just feel in my spirit a leaping. He offered that to God, and God said, I'll never, because of this smell, because of this operation, because of this offering. He saw man's heart towards him for the first time. And he said, while the earth remaineth, this is how God said it, because he was establishing a law because of what Noah did. God will do things for you, unto you, unto humanity, because of a seed you sow. You better get this in your heart. I'm reading the scripture. You can get mad all you want. You can roll your eyes. You can get evil in your heart. You can get nasty within yourself and say it's all, oh, he's a prosperity. You can walk out of church. You can turn the channel. But that doesn't change what I'm speaking, what I'm saying. I'm quoting the word of God. So you'd turn your nose up at God. Don't do it to me. You can curse out, you can curse me out, but it's not my word. I think I've become a pretty decent orator of God's word. I've learned how to release God's word in a certain fashion to where it God intended it to be released, preached, taught, conveyed on a spirit level to where it penetrates a man's heart or at least touches his mind to cause him to think. But it's still not my word, it's his. So he says, because of this, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, or the operation of sowing and reaping, oh, that's beautiful, the operation of sowing and reaping will remaineth as long as the earth remains. So you all say, well, the giving and sowing and tithe and offering, that's ended under the old covenant. Well, are you in an earth? A different planet we don't know about. This is still planet Earth. You say, well, the tithe is not a seed. Oh, most certainly it is. The entire kingdom, everything you do is seed time and harvest. That's what Mark chapter 4. The kingdom of God works like this. Like what? Seed and harvest. The law of God. And referring, Mark 4 is making reference to 8:21 in Genesis. So God said, while the earth remaineth, seed time, harvest time, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Why did he put them times in? Well, you got to understand that when the rain came, there was no day, there was no night. It was just dark. Things can't reproduce in dark. I paid my lawn service. I said, man, I don't like in the winter, Dylan, in Florida, well, where we're living, lawns go dormant, you know, in wintertime. And so I met with my yard spray guy, and I said, I don't want my yard to go dormant. I don't want it to die. So what are we going to have to do? He said, well, I'll spray it, man. I'll spray the pee out of it. Probably nitrogen. I don't know what else you spray. But for 2 years now, I had to cut my lawn in winter. Before he sprayed it, I didn't have to cut my lawn in winter because it'd go into that dormant state of winter. But the idea of God here is it takes sun to produce any seed. You put all this, if you live in a night region, let's just say there was a place on the earth where there was no light, you could produce no seed. Come on now, I don't want to get religious, but who is the light? Come on, Jesus is the true light, life. In him there's no darkness at all. But I'm talking about natural seed. You can't, without the longer days, without light, without heat, without a seed, you can't produce anything. I'm preaching a lot better than what you're saying out there. Now, glory to God. Let's finish this. Hurry up quickly. Go into Philippians with me. Am I helping someone out there? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians in the fourth chapter. Oh, thank you, Lord. And let's look at the 14th verse. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my afflictions. You did communicate with my afflictions. Now, this isn't money yet. But it says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church supplied funds, money, to me concerning about giving and receiving, but only you. No, now, once again, I can already hear some of you religious folk, and God bless you, it's not you. It's you've been taught in error, you listen to a demon, or you listen to a wayward idea of the world. But he said, in Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once again unto my necessity. But he says here, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, have receiving of Aphroditus, the things which were sent from you, for an odor, a sweet smell of sacrifice. Once again, look, hold on, Dylan, listen to this. When God received the offering from Moses, he said it was a sweet smelling savor. Look at what Paul says here. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Aphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Kind of sounds like the same operation in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. The same seed offering that was sown to God by Moses was sown to God by Macedonians and Thessalonians, and it had the same result. What did God do for Moses? He established a covenant with Moses that Moses, I'm going to give you, or I'm going to set on the planet seasons and times so that you could cultivate your seed on a greater level. All that winter is rest for the trees. That's all winter is, rest for you, rest for the trees. But in the seed time, as far as a farmer goes, as long as you can produce a harvest, you can sow and produce and receive, that should be plenty. There should be enough in the fall that you sowed in the summer, if we're planting, you know, like a farmer, that will carry you into and through the winter and the spring. Now I'm talking natural a little bit, but you got to take, what do you do with the scripture in Proverbs 10:22? The blessing, it makes you rich and adds no sorrow to it at all. So now we're bringing in supernatural application. Oh, glory to God. So he goes on here and he says it's acceptable unto the Lord, but now it looks like we got another covenant. Now, we use this scripture very cheapishly, but you got to use it in context and in line where it goes here. So they sow an offering. The apostle says here, I'm not trying to get, he said, hold on for a second. He said, don't misunderstand what's happening. I'm trying to get you to give, but I'm already taken care of. I got this one church that understands this. And this person, Aphroditus, who brings me the seed from that church or meat from that church. I don't know what they were bringing him, if they were bringing him actual stuff or it was a seed for the church, but it was meat to him. So it came from the seed. But he says, it still is sweet to God. It's a sweet smell and it moves God. The smell of a heartfelt tithe seed and or offering seed goes up to God always, and it's a pleasing smell to God. And every time we see it in the Bible, it causes God to do something. Every time you sow a seed, that pleasing scent, odor, essence, smell, that beautiful, sweet, savory smell, causes God's hand to action every time you see it. So let's look what he says here to these people. Because you've done this now, that's how it reads, because of 18, verse 18, God tells him to say this. That's what the Bible is, God's word, not Paul's word. Not Paul's account, not anybody's account. Don't get caught up in saying, well, that's what Paul said, that's what Matthew said. No, that's what God told him to write. That's the covenant God told him to make with his people. Paul's tongue was the pen that God used to write the message to his people. So don't give credit to Paul. Don't give credit. I hear people write, he wrote 2/3 of the new covenant. Well, God used him as a secretary to write that much of it. But you can't reduce the word of God to Paul's word. It's not Paul's word. It's God's word. So God has Paul to write, because they've sowed this and it became up to me once again an odor like Moses, I will supply all of their need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, you can't say that and take that scripture for you unless you're doing what they did. Come on. How many times have we taken that scripture? That's a global scripture. The whole, it's almost like John 3:16. But if you're not going to sow seed, and if you're not going to present God an odor, a smelling, savory scent, now, hold on. If I were to start a little fire here, and burn something small, it ain't even gonna make. Now I'm all right. Everything's relative. I understand that. I understand everything's relative. So, to some people, a $5 a penny would stoke up a smell that would make it to heaven in a sense that would just blow God away and cause God to action. We see that with the widow. The widow, Jesus stops everything once again. God had that smell came up to him. He stops everything, and he memorializes that widow woman forever in his word. But I'm talking about right here. They built something, an altar, and they made a smell. You have to work to make a smell. You have to work to make smoke. Now, I know there's smoke after the fact, but I'm talking about if you're going to make a smell to God, it's going to take something to make a smell unto God. It's not easy making a smell unto the Lord. If I want to produce a smell, like say Kim wants to come in the house and there's a smell, I'd have to go get a couple thousand roses, fragrant roses, for her to walk in the house and for that smell to knock against her, you know, her as a being, and hit her nose and get up into her senses. I'd have to have a couple thousand flowers in now, maybe more, maybe 10,000, to where she opened that door and it was, shoo, whoa, what's that smell? So you're not going to throw a nickel in the bucket. Now, if that's relative to where you're at, then that's beautiful. But I'm talking to some of you who have taken the word of God and you operate in habit instead of spirit. You take the word of God and you become familiar with it. There's no wow to it anymore to you. The offering, there's no wow. When that comes time to the offering, these scriptures I'm teaching you right now should just illuminate. They should send shock waves through your body to think I've got an opportunity. There's an altar set here in this church service that I can offer unto God a sweet smelling savor and cut another covenant with God for something. So you can't quote, well, you know how it is, you know, Pastor Summerlin, he's a crook. You know, this pastor, he's a crook, and this pastor, he's a crook. They're all thieves, and they're all, you know, crooked, and they all steal money, and they're all prosperity preachers, and then quote this scripture and think you're going to get anything from God. You're not going to get anything from God. And by the way, go study the word prosperity before it comes out of your dirty mouth again, incorrectly or in error. Just go study it. Go study and ask me if God, because the word prosperity means recreative, increase. Is God limited in his creative ability? Is God not able to increase? Just a thought. If you're going to use a term or a word, you ought to be smart enough to find out what phrase, what sentence, you know, how to form a sentence correctly to convey truth information, because you sound like a bunch of fools saying stupid stuff. My God is a prospering, increasing, ever-increasing God, and to him there is no end at all. Well, I guess I better be quiet. I'm out of time. Amen. I'm just trying to tell you how the Word of God works, and then reference Mark 4 later. The kingdom of God works like this: as a man should cast seed, sow seed into the ground, and the soil, the earth, brings forth the seed, it comes up a stalk, and then the corn in the ear of the stalk. And the man goes to sleep day and night and wakes up and sees the full corn in the ear, and he doesn't know how it works. Why? That's not his job to know how the seed works. The seed belongs to God. You can't eat it. You eat the seed, you get cursed. And the harvest is for meat for man. You better look at these things. You really better look at these things. I love you. God bless you. Go to richardsummerlin.com, newwaychurchfl.com. Get in these church services. Miracles are happening every week. I love you. God bless you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.